Kamara gets it and right up the gut. He is gone. Touchdown, Saints. Gotta be the shoes.
Well, it's the right guard and right tackle, the blocks that they make, and they open it up, and then it's just one-on-one. Anthony Harris is the only guy right there that's able to make a play. He takes a bad angle on Kamara, and it's a good night. That's a great way was on the outside, and you bet that Sean Payton's going to take advantage of that.
Kamara, touchdown. Without three of your top four wide receivers, they don't feel ready for the playoffs, they say. Kamara cuts up field and touchdown. Saints.
Type of an offensive lineman. What a great job. Ramchek has had a great year. You can make an argument for him to have been voted into the Pro Bowl. Just some really tough running.
Kamara again. How about four? Touchdown, Saints. And four on the day for Alvin Kamara.
Comes in back there at right tackle, and watch how he just totally collapses that side. And then you've got Alvin Kamara coming right off of that block. And that's not much effort by Anthony Harris there at safety to make a play.
Well, he's had a rough day tackling Harris. Kamara looking for five. He's got it. Touchdown, Saints. And the most in the league since 03 in Clinton Portis. Five rushing touchdowns for Alvin Kamara on Christmas.
I think Alvin Kamara should wear these red and green cleats every week. I mean, this is have a day, Alvin Kamara.
Back, he's got five rushing touchdowns, and now six. Tied for the most all time.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to this Christmas Day edition of the NFL Wrap-Up. That audio was courtesy of the National Football League and Fox Sports. And yes, Alvin Kamara and the New Orleans Saints handled their business as they went on to beat the Minnesota Vikings in an impressive performance, not only just by him, but also the defense played solid. Drew Brees was effective as well, but it all began with Alvin Kamara and the running game alongside getting a little help from Latavius Murray. And also Taysom Hill did his part as well. We're going to recap that game. Also, we've got an interview with Bill Michaels. He's the host of the syndicated Bill Michaels Sports Show and the Green and Gold Postgame Show on the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. So, again, Merry Christmas to you and yours. And here we go. Here's a recap of the Christmas Day game between the Minnesota Vikings and the New Orleans Saints. The New Orleans Saints handled their business, beating the Vikings 52-33. Drew Brees completed 19 out of 26 passes for 311 yards, and he had two interceptions. Emmanuel Sanders had four catches for 83 yards. Jared Cook had three catches for 82 yards. Also, Adam Troutman had two catches for 45 yards. Marquez Callaway had three catches for 26 yards. Latavius Murray had three catches for 24 yards. On the defensive side, DeMario Davis and Malcolm Jenkins both had recorded six tackles. Also, we had Malcolm Jenkins recorded a half a sack. Marshawn Lattimore had five tackles, and Cameron Jordan had a sack. But the star of the show was Alvin Kamara, 22 carries for 155 yards and six rushing touchdowns. Kamara tied the all-time NFL record with six rushing touchdowns in one game. Hall of Famer Ernie Nevers of the Chicago Cardinals was the previous record holder with six rushing touchdowns in a 1929 victory over the Chicago Bears. So Kamara ties the record with Hall of Famer Ernie Nevers of the Chicago Cardinals. Meanwhile, in the losing effort, Kirk Cousins completed 27 out of 41 passes for 291 yards and three touchdown passes. Dalvin Cook had 15 carries for 73 yards and a touchdown. Adam Thielen had eight catches for 97 yards and a touchdown. Justin Jefferson had six catches for 85 yards. Irv Smith Jr. had six catches for 53 yards and two touchdowns. And Tyler Conklin had four catches for 31 yards. But once again, the day belonged to New Orleans Saints. The Saints go on to beat the Vikings, final score 52-33 at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in New Orleans. And man, I got to tell you, the star of the show was Alvin Kamara. And again, the Saints beat the Vikings 52-33. And that was a recap of the Christmas Day game. And now it's time for my storyline, which is the Vikings and the Saints. The game started off neck and neck. They went toe for toe throughout three quarters. But in the fourth quarter, it was all New Orleans Saints. Drew Brees did his part. He did what he needed to do. But, man, the star of the show, as I said earlier, was Alvin Kamara. Again, the stats. He was sensational. He had 22 carries for 155 yards and six rushing touchdowns. Yes, I said it. He had six rushing touchdowns. He tied the all-time NFL record with six rushing touchdowns in a game. He tied the record with Hall of Famer Ernie Nevers of the Chicago Cardinals. Nevers set the record in 1929 with six rushing touchdowns with a victory over the Chicago Bears. Now, in the last program that I had with Ross Jackson, from the Locked On Saints podcast, I was telling him earlier that Alvin Kamara was my pick for the league offensive player of the year. Now, he still has a chance to win it, but he plays so much better when Drew Brees is in there. When Drew was in there, he is just an animal within itself. He runs effectively. He catches the ball coming out of the backfield. I mean, Alvin does it all. If I had to I don't like to compare players too much, but if Alvin was, you could say he's a refined Reggie Bush or a complete Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush had a raw talent. Alvin Kamara is more of a polished talent because he's really the total package in a running back, running, receiving, blocking, set him up as a decoy. He can do all of those things and then some. And Alvin made the difference. Again, hey, Minnesota's defense, it's the worst it's been in, I don't know, almost a decade. However, that's what you do in football. You exploit a weakness, not just in football, but in sports. You take advantage of somebody's weakness, you exploit it, and guess what? That's what the Saints did in the Christmas Day game against the Vikings. We knew Minnesota's defense was not that good. And what did the Saints do? The Saints stood by their guns, and they played Saints offense. They played fantastic. They played effective football, but the running game was what got going. Drew made plays when he needed to, and he did. He was phenomenal. But Latavius Murray was the number two back that played his part big way. But Alvin Kamara, the show belonged to him, man. He's something else. He's going to be great for the next 10 years or so, for the next decade or so. He's going to be great. So we don't know when Drew is going to hang it up. We don't know. But we know that the Saints offense is in good hands with Alvin Kamara to lead them the rest of the way, him along with Michael Thomas. As for the Minnesota Vikings, their playoff hopes are in jeopardy. Kirk Cousins played an effective game. Dalvin Cook was effective. It's just the problem was no defense. Defense didn't help them out. They just, you know, Eric Kendricks is hurt. They're hurt on defense. So many injuries, and they just didn't have enough firepower to take down Alvin Kamara and the rest of that Saint offense. Vikings, looks like they're going to be won't be in the playoffs this year. It looks as though they were in the playoffs last year, but as they say, what a difference a year makes. And looks like they're going to be sitting home because they have so much at stake, and it's going to take a lot for them because mathematically it looks like they're out of it. But as for the Saints, they're 11-4. Again, the magic number is now one because with Green Bay playing Tennessee this weekend, and you've also got Green Bay's got a tough one at Soldier Field against Chicago. Meanwhile, the Saints' next opponent is going to be the Carolina Panthers in Carolina to end the season. So the Saints can still get that number one spot. It's going to be tough because Green Bay's playing some great ball. But in the meantime, in between time, Vikings and Saints Christmas game, Alvin Kamara stole the show, and he handled his business, and he helped the Saints go along. He would help the Saints beat the Vikings. Final score, once again, 52-33. All right, that concludes segment one. Coming up next, I have an exclusive interview with Bill Michaels from the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network in the Green and Gold Postgame Show. I'm Ed Robinson. Merry Christmas to you and yours, and you're listening to the NFL Wrap-Up. Down.
you make plans this season, consider convenient COVID-19 testing from Quest. Get the same test hospitals use without a doctor visit. Simply order online, select from drive-thru or at-home options, and get the results sent securely to your phone or computer. It's a great fit for your busy life. With over 20 million COVID-19 tests processed, you can count on Quest. So order your test today at QuestCOVID19.com. That's QuestCOVID19.com.
What makes Community Coffee different isn't just how long we've been around. It's how far we're willing to go in pursuit of the perfect cup. We select the finest beans and use four generations of roasting experience to give you a rich, delicious flavor. Look for us at your grocery store and online at CommunityCoffee.com.
As you make plans this season, consider convenient COVID-19 testing from Quest. Get the same test hospitals use without a doctor visit. Simply order online, select from drive-thru or at-home options, and get the results sent securely to your phone or computer. It's a great fit for your busy life. With over 20 million COVID-19 tests processed, you can count on Quest. So order your test today at QuestCOVID19.com. That's QuestCOVID19.com.
When the weather outside is frightful, the Hyundai Santa Fe is, what's the word, delightful. Because it's got available H-Track all-wheel drive to make being out together better. Enter for your chance to win the newly redesigned Santa Fe, packed with all the jingle bells and whistles you need to go dashing through the snow together. To enter, visit Amazon.com/Hyundai or scan the QR code on specially marked red and green Amazon boxes. No purchase necessary. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Imagine the greatest collection of real-life entertainment on the planet, all in one place. Go ahead. Dare to stream with Discovery Plus. 55,000 episodes from networks like TLC, HGTV, Food Network, and more. If you can dream it, you can stream it. See what I did there? Discovery Plus, coming January 2021. Stream what you love.
When the weather outside is frightful, the Hyundai Santa Fe is, what's the word, delightful. Because it's got available H-Track all-wheel drive to make being out together better. Enter for your chance to win the newly redesigned Santa Fe, packed with all the jingle bells and whistles you need to go dashing through the snow together. To enter, visit Amazon.com/Hyundai or scan the QR code on specially marked red and green Amazon boxes. No purchase necessary. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
First and goal here on the first drive for the Packers. Fake to Jones in the flats. They get it here. Tonyan's in. Touchdown. 10th of the season to lead all tight ends in the league.
Want to have you
lead the league.
Lead the league for tight end touchdowns. So once again, you get a tight formation here. Alan Lazard just makes his defender go up over the top. Easy throw for Aaron Rodgers and a nice job. Get the ball into the end zone.
Perfect on third down so far. Rodgers steps up, eyes on the end zone. He'll run and get in. Touchdown. They stay perfect on third down, and Rodgers gets his 31st career rushing touchdown. All-time leader for quarterbacks in Packers history.
Not a guy that runs a lot, but a guy that definitely can run in these situations. So worried about coverage. Your eyes get locked in on the receivers, turn your back to the quarterback, trying to lock on your guys, and just an easy walk-in touchdown for number 12.
1 week after the Packers went 8-for-11 on third down in that win against Detroit.
Ownership in what they're doing.
Back to Aaron Jones, untouched left side, he'll get in. Three drives and three touchdowns for Green Bay.
Denses that defense. So as you condense the defense, you just got to seal that edge. You got man-to-man coverage on the outside. The man-to-man defender comes inside.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the National Football League and the NFL Network. That was the Green Bay Packers getting that win over the Carolina Panthers in week 15 of the 2020 NFL season. We'll have Bill Michaels back on the program to discuss the Green Bay Packers win over the Carolina Panthers, and also we're going to preview the Packers game against the Tennessee Titans. And for and speaking of that, we're going to welcome him back to the program. Let's welcome him, the host of the Bill Michaels Show, and also he's the pregame host of the Green Bay Packers radio network, Bill Michaels. Hey, Bill, welcome back.
Glad to be here. How you guys doing?
I'm doing well, man. Thank you once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be back on the program. So the Green Bay Packers are picking up right where they left off from last season. The Rodgers and LaFleur connection is they're clicking on all cylinders once again in year two of this administration. Give me your highlights and lowlights from Green Bay's win against the Panthers.
I think the highlights are the fact that they jumped out to a fast start, and they've been able to do that quite often this year. And when they do that, their defense doesn't really have to concern itself too much with the run game, with defending the run, which is not something that they're very good at. But then again, in the second half of that ballgame, the offense completely became anemic. Really, the last two drives in the first half, the Packers punted, and then they punted three more times in the third and fourth quarter and only put up a field goal. And that's a little bit concerning, the fact that at times they tend to get away from what it is that they do so well, and that is motion, movement, move the pocket, naked bootlegs, misdirection. And they just seem to get away from that. It looked like an old version of Mike McCarthy's offense. So, you know, I know they want to force the ball to Devontae Adams. They want to get him involved. He's one of their best playmakers. But what they do so well, what Aaron Rodgers has done so well this season is spread the ball around. Go to 7, 8, 9 different receivers and not just focus on Devontae Adams. And I think at times they tend to focus on 17 more so than spreading the ball around to everybody else. But, you know, it's kind of like they, you know, said after the ball game, when you talk to Matt LaFleur and you talk to a couple of guys, you know, in the conference calls, they all say the same thing. They say, hey, when you don't play your best and yet you still win and you win somewhat convincingly, that's the sign of a really good football team. Kansas City's done it. Now, granted, Kansas City has played a much, much tougher schedule and many more opponents with winning records than the Packers, because the Packers have only played three, and they're 1-2 against those three. But the fact that the Packers, you know, are still able to win, that's what championship teams do. When you don't play your best and you still win. So that's the highlights and the lowlights coming out of that game. It's now, you know, you got Derrick Henry. You're staring down the barrels of Derrick Henry in that run game that Tennessee offers, and Tannehill's having a pretty solid season, so now you got to figure out a way to slow them down and get off to a fast start, try to put points on the board and negate the run.
All right, and you know, we're going to get more into that game in just a little bit, but Aaron Rodgers, again, he, you know, what can we say about him? I mean, he recently made history in that Panthers game where he became the first quarterback in NFL history to have three consecutive 4,000-yard passing seasons. He's continued to build up his resume. We know he's going to be in Canton one day. Give me your take, in your opinion, the difference between Aaron from this year and Aaron from last year.
I think a couple of things. One is he's more familiar with and more comfortable in Matt LaFleur's offense. I think that's first and foremost. But he had said something to us during training camp. He said he went back and watched some film of him. Remember, the year after they won the Super Bowl, that 2011 season, that was the best offense in all of football. They went 15-1 before getting knocked out in the postseason. And that was the most prolific offense. I mean, that was just a ridiculous amount of scoring and yardage that they were racking up. So he went back and looked at that season, and he said he noticed a couple of things that he did that made him a better quarterback and made them a better team. And the only thing, now he hasn't really been explicit as to what he saw, but what you can gather from that is he got rid of the ball and took what the defense gave him and let his guys become playmakers and trusted his guys more, and he's been that this year. He sat down and worked with the young guys much, much more than he did the year prior. And he's been able to just, you know, whatever the defense gives you, take it. You know, quit looking for the big play, quit looking for the one that's going to be the highlight reel on SportsCenter, and just take what the defense gives you, because at the end of the day, you're going to throw for three or four touchdowns every week. You're still going to have anywhere from 250 to 400 yards, and you're not going to throw interceptions, and you're not going to throw the ball away. You're not going to have a low completion percentage. So all your numbers naturally are going to go up, and that's exactly what he's done this season.
Let's stay with number 12 for a moment. There's a quarterback in Kansas City named Patrick Mahomes, and we know what his pedigree is, and it looks like the MVP race is going to be between these two dynamic quarterbacks between Rodgers and Mahomes, who do you think wins it and why?
That's a great question. I think Patrick Mahomes has played more highlighted games, and as I had mentioned, they've played stiffer competition. I think they've played five or six, maybe even seven teams with a record of 500 or better, as opposed to the Packers only playing, three on their docket. So I think they're going to look more favorably to what Mahomes has had and what he's done as opposed to what Rodgers has done. But if Rodgers finishes strong, I mean, if they beat Tennessee on Sunday night, that's a standalone, the rest of the world is watching you game. So that'll give him a little more, juice. And then obviously, if he has to go into that final week of the season, he plays the Bears. He's lit the Bears up. The last time these two teams played, he put up 41 on them. So maybe, those last two weeks, beating a guy like Derrick Henry and then beating the Chicago Bears quite handily, those two might give him the leg up. But I agree with you. I think it's going to come down to those two guys. And I think it's just who you believe has more talent. And most would say that Kansas City probably has more talent, that Aaron Rodgers is getting it done and making heroes out of guys like Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Robert Tonyan and some of those guys that nobody ever heard of before this season, because he's making them names, as opposed to the likes of Travis Kelce and the wide receiving core that Malik Taylor and such that they have there in Kansas City. So, if I had to vote, I'd pick Rodgers, because I do believe he's the most valuable to his team. But you can't go wrong picking either guy.
Yeah, both of those guys are phenomenal in their own right as well. Now let's move along now to the running game. Aaron Jones, again, having a fantastic season. He's headed to another Pro Bowl. And again, Aaron Jones came out of nowhere last year, and he's picked up right where he's left off for this season. And you mentioned, Bill, that if one of the highlights for the Packers' victory against the Panthers was the running game. Again, like you said before, Green Bay is so used to getting the big play and wanting the highlight, but you mentioned that they've learned to trust their running game, not just last year, but even more this year. Just give me your thoughts on not just with Aaron Jones, but also what Jamal Williams has done this season.
Well, I think both guys have excelled again. I mean, the big thing for Aaron Jones is, for the most part, he's been healthy this year. I mean, the last 2 years he's been healthy. Prior to that, he's been banged up. And let's face it, Mike McCarthy didn't use him. It was basically run-pass option at the line of scrimmage, and Aaron Rodgers wanted to pass more than he wanted to run, where Matt LaFleur has said, no, we're going to run the football. That's what we do. We want to be able to, mix up the run, but also you want to be able to utilize all-purpose yards. You want to get a guy out of the backfield that can also pass block, that can pick up blitzes, that can protect your blind side and can catch the football and give you yardage that way. And that's what – and Aaron Jones went last year. Remember, he led all running backs in touchdowns with right around 20 last year, and really kind of proved himself as a viable out candidate for Aaron Rodgers. And Rodgers then became very trustworthy of him, and, they got off to a fast start. Jamal Williams has really picked his game up. When they drafted Jordan Love, Jamal Williams got back into the gym. He really wanted to lean out and get rid of some of the body fat, and really we wanted to become a faster runner. And I don't necessarily think that he's faster, but he's stronger. He runs north to south much better and follows blockers much better than he did last year. And I think he learned a little bit. Plus, I mean, both of those guys are in a contract year. You always play better in a contract year for the most part. So both of those guys are looking at paydays, whether it's Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones in Green Bay or just one of them. Both of those guys are looking at paydays. So, the number one thing in Green Bay is pick up the blitz. The number Rodgers killed, and the number three thing is be able to run the football and don't fumble. And now they've actually expounded upon that. So, as long as you protect Aaron Rodgers and he trusts you, he's going to get you the ball more and more. And both guys have excelled in doing that.
Absolutely, and they have excelled in that. It's added a unique element to that Green Bay offense. It really prolongs Aaron's career, and on top of that, it relieves pressure off of Green Bay's defense. And speaking of defense, let's talk now about the defense. Again, you mentioned earlier, Bill, and what we've seen in watching Green Bay this year and last year is – the inability to defend the run. They don't defend the run well, but they have one of the top deep total overall defenses in the league, and they defend the pass very well with the likes of Adrian Amos and also Jair Alexander. But, man, that you know, they've got a solid defensive front, you know, with the likes of Kenny Clark, and there's also Rashawn Gary. I know he suffered an injury in the game against Carolina, but the Smiths are just as good as ever with Preston and Zadarius, and also with Kingsley Keke. Give me your take on Green Bay's the comparison between Green Bay's defense as last year as opposed to this season.
Well, I think last year it was a little bit simpler. Blake Martinez was a guy roaming the middle at the linebacker position that they just kind of let him go clean up whatever Preston and Zadarius didn't get to. I do like the beef they have up front this year. Tyler Lancaster played well this year and last year, but Dean Lowry played much better last year. He has not played well this year at all. He has been a shell of himself, but I agree with you. I think the secondary is probably their biggest benefit because Jair Alexander is just he's a flat-out lockdown defender. He's a lockdown corner. He's a guy that they don't even throw at a lot of the time anymore. I mean, he's just become that good. And it's not that he's got a bunch of picks. He's not Neon Deion back there, but he's a guy that just knocks the ball down. So he's been very, very good. The other guy that now that he's been healthy has been Kevin King. And Kevin King, when both he and Alexander are healthy, that's, to me, with Darnell Savage Jr. in the middle, and that's a guy that likes to hit and likes to tackle. Those four guys with Adrian Amos, and Amos is coming off of his best game with three passes defended, a forced fumble, and a sack. You know, I mean, those three, four guys back there, to me, make one of the top five secondaries in all of football. So they're that good. Where they're weak at is they need another guy alongside Kenny Clark, another big, beefy body, and they need another linebacker. But what they discovered was Kamal Martin has really, really come on, and he's the guy they picked up in the draft. And Chris Barnes is the other one, the undrafted free agent. Both of those guys have just really opened eyes at the middle linebacking position. They just have a different tenacity and a different level to them, so much so that Christian Kirksey didn't even start against Carolina. He didn't play in the second half until Barnes got hurt. So he's not even seeing the field right now as a veteran coming out of Mike Pettine's system from Cleveland, and they wanted him to be the anchor, and he's being unseated by these two rookies that had really no business being there, but they're just excelling. They're playing extremely well. So Preston Smith is not having the same statistical season as he had last year. Part of it is they're dropping him back into coverage. Rashawn Gary has really come on, and he's been a guy that where that's kind of allowed Preston Smith or Zadarius, depending on the positioning, to play some middle rather than playing on the outside because Rashawn Gary's been a big bull rush. He's not a big sack guy, but he's a big bull rush, and he's going to take away cutback lanes, and he's going to collapse the pocket and put pressure on quarterbacks. So they've got something there. It's just not as statistically pretty as it was last year. But guys, about two, three weeks ago, Zadarius Preston and Kenny Clark all went to the defensive coordinator, Mike Pettine, and they said, hey, look, things are a little complicated, and with us moving all over the field, can we just simplify things and let's get back to what we're doing? And that is rushing the quarterback, beating people up, let us do that. And so, much to Mike Pettine's credit, he said, okay, no problem. And they started doing it, and now they've got, 9 sacks in the last 3 games. Their sack totals have gone up. So this is a team that's now starting to feel it. And I've always said to go deep into the postseason, you got to be good, you got to be healthy, but then you got to get hot and you got to be lucky. And right now it seems like maybe defensively they're starting to get a little bit hotter, but that's why we're all looking over the fence this weekend to say, look, if you can play a good defensive game against Derrick Henry and this team, this top scoring team in all of football, then you've got something, and then we can really become bigger believers in what's about to happen in the postseason.
All right, fair enough. And let's move along now to the wide receivers. And you mentioned this earlier, Bill. Again, we talked about with the Rodgers and Mahomes and the MVP race, and with Mahomes having the talent at wide receiver in Green Bay, we know who Davante Adams is, but we're still trying to figure out who the rest of the guys are. But they've made plays when Aaron has asked them to, with the likes of Allen Lazard and also Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Of course, there's the tight end, Robert Tonyan, who's come out of nowhere this year. And, of course, Davante Adams putting up another Pro Bowl year. Just give me your take on the wide receiver play in 2020.
Well, I think a couple of things. First and foremost, I think that other guys have stepped up. We're starting to see
out of Marquez Valdes-Scantling what we've wanted to see, and that is that he is a guy that's got a lot of speed. He can blow the lid off of a defense. He can really open things up when he's active early. And he's much like when they had JerMichael Finley from years gone by, the tight end. JerMichael was always one of those guys you had to get him the ball early to get him engaged. And once he got engaged, he just had a dynamite game. And that's Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Where Marquez Valdes-Scantling, MVS as they call him, has become so good, it's downfield blocking. He's become really good not only as a pass catcher, but he's also become really good as a downfield blocker and springing guys free. If you notice that 77-yard run just a few weeks ago by Aaron Jones, he was one of the guys with David Bakhtiari, the big left tackle, that ran the 77 yards, and they were blocking the entire way down the field. He's become a really good blocker. But you're right. With that guy like Alan Lazard, who is such a good route runner, and Aaron Rodgers trusts him, and even though he did have a couple of drops in his last game against the Panthers, he's become a guy that he likes to go. Aaron Rodgers likes to go to. Don't forget about Equanimee St. Brown coming back from injury. He's got big hands, long arms. He's a guy that's kind of a possession guy. He's a possession receiver. He moves the chains. They've begun to trust him. Tanyan, Mercedes Lewis, the big tight end, the veteran tight end. They call him Big Dog. They love him as well. Again, another guy that's going to move the chains and keep drives alive. So they've got a lot of those guys on this team. And then you've got the two threats in Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Davante Adams on the outside. And, you know, with Aaron Jones still being able to spring it, or Jamal Williams, or even A.J. Dillon, now that they've got him back from the COVID protocol, they've got enough weapons, not big, giant, all-pro weapons, but they've got enough weapons to make the offense move. And if you go back to Aaron Rodgers' philosophy that we talked about earlier, where it's just take what the defense gives you, move the chains, keep the ball, put it in the end zone, and that's keeping your defense off the field, you're going to win a lot of games. And that's going to be their philosophy going through the rest of the regular season and into the postseason.
Let's stay with the offense now. Let's move along now actually to the head coach. Matt LaFleur is in his second year as the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. And we know quarterback and coach relationships have to be in sync in the National Football League. We see it with Drew Brees and Sean Payton, Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlin, Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. And in year two of the Rodgers and LaFleur administration, it seems to be so far so good. They're playing lights out this year just like they were last year. What do you think the biggest takes, in your opinion, what do you think are the biggest takes from Matt LaFleur in year two?
I think that all the thought process about Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur having a bad relationship were way, way over-exaggerated. And you kind of had to take both of them at their word. Aaron Rodgers had talked to us at the beginning of the season, and he said, you know, back in the day, it was just you walked in on Monday, you went over the film. On Wednesday, you started to install your new game plan, and that's the way it was. Where he and Matt LaFleur are, you know, hey, if they watch a game on Monday night, and Aaron will go, whoa, wait a minute, and he'll see a play that he likes. He's like, hey, let's run this, or let's think of a version of this, and he'll text Matt LaFleur, and Matt will text him back, go, okay, let's do that. Let's think about something like that. Think of a play that we can run on overnight tonight or whatever, and then let's talk about it on Tuesday, and then we'll get back at it. We'll put it in the playbook on Wednesday and see if we can't figure it out. They've got – it's like two football junkies trying to out-scheme their offense for your defense. And the fact that Matt LaFleur, one, he trusts Aaron Rodgers – and he did, you know, he had to kind of come down on Rodgers a couple times early on in their tenure together last year. But, you know, they kind of gained each other's respect and an understanding. And I think what they were able to do is really begin a good mental working relationship. And the one thing Matt LaFleur always says is when you come in and you start talking to Aaron Rodgers about the offense, you better know what the hell you're talking about. And you better be able to challenge him intellectually. Because Aaron is not looking for the easy way out. He's looking to do things bigger and better and smarter than everybody else. And we all know he's the smartest guy in the room anyway. So you got to challenge him. And I think those two guys make each other better. Sometimes there's coaches that just make you better. I think Andy Reid made Patrick Mahomes better, and I think Patrick Mahomes made Andy Reid better. I really believe that. I think Matt LaFleur made Aaron Rodgers better, and Rodgers raises up the level, the stature of the coach because the coach has made him better, and therefore he has to be better. So he's trying to be better than the coach, and the coach is on his game. And I think it goes back and forth like that. So I think they've got between year one and year two. Year one, you're feeling each other out. Year two, you know what path you're going down.
Now you just accentuate it and make it better, and I think that's why they've been so successful this season.
Yeah, rightfully so. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, is about as intelligent as you can get him. Matt LaFleur definitely has proven to be one of the great minds in the National Football League. Before we talk about the Packers' next game, the Sunday night matchup against the Titans, a lot of Packer fans, and including a lot of football fans such as myself, saw Green Bay draft Jordan Love. Not happy about that move. I felt they could have possibly made a run for Justin Jefferson or maybe Brandon Ayuk in that draft. What was your take on management drafting Jordan Love, and what do you think the future is going to be for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay?
I think, well, two things. One, on draft night, we're doing our draft show, and then you hear there's a trade, and I got excited. And I wasn't even thinking about a wide receiver because Patrick Queen was sitting there. And Patrick Queen's having a hell of a season for the Baltimore Ravens. And can you imagine Patrick Queen roaming the middle as a linebacker on this defense would make everything that much better. We wouldn't be talking about not being able to defend the run, not being able to defend tight ends or the pass across the middle. Patrick Queen has done it all. He's been so incredibly impressive in his rookie season. So that's the guy that I wanted, and he was right there, and they passed on him. When they chose Jordan Love, they started the clock ticking. I don't specifically understand why there was a need to do that. I get that, you know, the old adage is you always want to draft your quarterback when you don't have to draft a quarterback. And so I understand it. But you took Jordan Love. I mean, Jordan Love, he's going to be the most scrutinized quarterback in the National Football League almost ever, maybe even more so than when Aaron Rodgers took over for Brett Favre. Because he was the guy, because, you know, when Brett Favre, when they drafted Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre had already started to state that he was thinking about retirement. Aaron Rodgers says, I got 7 or 8 years to go. I'm not going anywhere. So you took Jordan Love now when you knew you were only one game away from going to the Super Bowl, and instead of fortifying your team, you chose to think about the future, and it didn't make sense to anybody, and you traded up to get him. It wasn't like he fell to you like Rodgers did. You traded up to get this guy. So he is going to be the most scrutinized quarterback probably since Aaron Rodgers, because he's not only going to be taking over for a legend, but he's also going to be then pushing a legend out because of the choice to take him. Now, they could obviously develop him and then trade him away for different draft capital. I mean, they could still do that. Anything can happen. But, you know, we all knew it was going to light a fire under Aaron Rodgers and make him a guy that was going to be just better, for one, just better in so many different facets, and he was going to use it as a chip on his shoulder to become a better quarterback. So, and yeah, that's exactly what he's done. But as far as drafting Jordan Love and drafting for the future, you know, it's got to be right. You know, I mean, we're not worried about it right now because we're talking about the possibility of being the number one seed in the NFC and you know, the road to a Super Bowl going through Lambeau Field. So that's what we're worried about. But if they fall short this year, it's because they fall behind in a game defensively and they don't have enough real burner weapons, big-time weapons like a Justin Jefferson or such, to be able to get downfield and really help this offense because you got Devontae Adams and guys, then you're going to be really questioning why didn't they go out and find another weapon for Aaron Rodgers rather than drafting for the future. And then in addition to that, Now you got to make a decision, not after next season. Are you going to keep Aaron Rodgers or are you going to go with Jordan Love? And if Aaron Rodgers is playing this way and still vying for an MVP, why in the world would you get rid of him? To bring in a guy that's inexperienced with a team that you're paying all this money, you're paying guys, you're going to eventually pay Aaron Jones or Jamal Williams. You just paid, Kenny Clark. You just paid David Bakhtiari. You paid all these guys, these veterans, to stay together. Why would you then discard your quarterback who gives you the best shot at winning a championship? It just wouldn't make sense. So they've got some real tough decisions ahead unless Aaron Rodgers would go down with some magnanimous injury that would pretty much cost him the remainder of his career. Right now, he's playing as well as I've seen him play since 2011, and Jordan Love is merely an afterthought.
Exactly. I mean, Aaron is just – he's continuing to do it, man. He's been consistent really since he's taken over as the starting quarterback for the Packers. And before we preview the Packers game against the Titans, you mentioned the NFC playoff picture. It's looking pretty good right now for Green Bay. If they could just win out and, like you said, they could be the number one seed and the NFC will roll through Lambeau Field. Currently, the Packers beat the Saints earlier in the year, so they own the tiebreaker. They haven't played Seattle this year. How confident are you that Green Bay will remain the number one seed and not have New Orleans and Seattle try to take that top spot?
Well, I'm pretty confident. I mean, I have this gut feeling they're going to get a win this weekend. And if they do, regardless of what happens, whether or not the Rams win or not, there's a lot of talk here. Well, if they wrap it up this weekend, should they even play Aaron Rodgers against the Bears? And which goes back to your question when we talk about MVPs, you know, a legacy to have three MVPs or more is saying something in the National Football League. I mean, that is a feather in your cap. That is a huge resume boost. So if Aaron Rodgers doesn't end up with three or four or five rings, but still has three MVPs in a Super Bowl, I mean, that's a real resume boost as far as talking about stats and statistics and some of the greatest players ever to play the game. So I know he really wants that. So I think he plays against Chicago regardless. But I really think they're going to win this weekend. The Rams have something to prove. Obviously, Seattle's defense has proven susceptible at times, even though they did make the moves for Snacks Harrison and Carlos Dunlap. And I think both of those guys are tremendous. I just still think their secondary is not nearly as good as the Legion of Boom from years ago. So I think they're susceptible. And I think the Rams are going to be just seething after getting beat by the winless Jets. They clearly were overlooking that, you know, that trap game and thinking about Seattle rather than thinking about the Jets sitting right in front of them. So I think the Rams are going to take care of business. I think the Packers are going to take care of business. I think the Packers are going to wrap up the number one seed in the NFC. And you'll probably see Aaron Rodgers play at least a half, if not three quarters or more, depending on the contest, against the Chicago Bears in Week 17.
All right, fair enough. Now let's preview the Sunday night matchup. It's going to be a great one at Lambeau Field between the Green Bay Packers and the Tennessee Titans. Again, we know Green Bay, one of their Achilles heels is defending the run, and they're going to have their hands full going up against the league's leading rusher, Derrick Henry. I mean, Derrick Henry is stiff-armed and has just power-driven his way to so many defenders during this 2020 NFL season. If you're the defensive coordinator for Green Bay, what do you think the strategy is going to be to not stop Derrick Henry, but to contain him?
I think that's just it. I think if it comes down to a back-and-forth game, you know, if Derrick Henry walks away with 125 yards and one touchdown, that doesn't kill you, you know. But what you cannot do is give them – I think you really need to win the series on first and second downs. You can't give them third and short, or he's going to beat you up all day long. You got to put them in a position where it's third and seven, third and six, things like that. And you've got to be able to create the distance. Therefore, they're not going to run the football. You got to put the game in Ryan Tannehill's hands. That's what you want. If you're giving him third and one and third and two all afternoon, I don't think you're going to stop them. They're going to sustain drives. And the best defense for the Tennessee Titans is their offense and keeping Aaron Rodgers off the field. But I think if I'm Mike Pettine, you know, I'm praying to God that the first couple of series I get stops, or they're long sustained drives and you walk away with just strictly field goals and the Packers offense is able to put up points. Because if they put up, say, 14 and it's quickly 14-3 or say 17-3 or something like that, well, you're going to start forcing a three possession game. You're going to start forcing Ryan Tannehill to throw the football, and that's exactly the game plan you want. So give Derrick Henry 125 yards and a touchdown, but just don't give Derrick Henry a bunch of first downs and don't give Derrick Henry short yardage situations on third down to let him pick up first down, keep that defense on the field, lose the time of possession, have them worn out to where tackling becomes an issue, because this is not a good tackling football team either. I mean, that's one of the other bugaboos that drives Packers fans crazy is how many missed tackles we've seen this season. So that's the way you're going to beat them. And then their special teams have really been porous over the last three, four weeks. So you've got to be able to shore up special teams as well.
Let's stay with the Tennessee offense. You mentioned the quarterback, Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill has been pretty good the last several years as well. During the offseason, he got big contract extension with Tennessee. So now he can do it throwing and running the ball. What do you think Green Bay's strategy is going to be to contain Ryan?
I think kind of like when Jalen Hurts came into the game when they were playing Philadelphia, even with a guy that's not quite as mobile like Mitch Trubisky, it's just try to keep him in the pocket. That's where Rashawn Gary is so good, you're not necessarily sacking a quarterback consistently, but just cut off the cutback lanes. Keep them in the pocket. Allow your safeties, Darnell Savage and company, to come up, because you're probably going to bring them up into the box anyway to stop the run. So allow them to come up and clean up, and you just have to be very sure tackling. But what I'm trying to do, if I'm Mike Pettine, and I know Mike Pettine wants to play diamond nickel, he lives and dies with that, but I think I still run more of a traditional 3-4, 4-3 type of front. Make sure you have some extra beef up front, and make sure that you've got maybe a spy on Tannehill at times in passing situations, so he's not running for first downs, and try to keep him just within the pocket. You can make him throw the football, because he's good, but he's not great. He'll give you one or two per game. It's whether or not you capitalize on it. You can make him throw the football. Just don't give him the ability to run for first downs and then bring Derrick Henry back into the mix as far as an important cog in their offense. Because if you can take Derrick Henry away in down and distance, you're going to force Ryan Tannehill to go toe-to-toe with Aaron Rodgers, and I just don't think he can.
And then let's talk about the other team, the Green Bay Packers. What do you think the Packers' offensive strategy is going to be going up against Tennessee's defense? Because we know Tennessee's defense has been pretty effective this year, but what do you think Aaron and the passing game is going to do against this Tennessee defense?
I think exactly what you've seen the last few weeks is just get vertical, get downfield, make them think about Devontae, because they're going to try to take Devontae Adams out of the mix. Everybody does. Everybody knows that. They're going to try to do their best to double-team Devontae. Wherever the coverage goes, wherever Devontae goes, they're always going to swing a safety over the top, or they're just going to double him. So, therefore, you're going to have to continually take what they give you, because they're going to take Devontae away. So they're going to go to Tonyan. They're going to go to Marquez Valdes-Scantling. They're going to go a lot to Aaron Jones out of the backfield. You're coming to Lambeau Field. It's going to be cold. It's going to be in the 20s. Run the football. Run the football with Jamal Williams. Run the football with A.J. Dillon. Run the football with Aaron Jones. And just keep the ball out of the Tennessee Titans' hands. But to me, it's a balanced attack. You want to work Devontae into the mix. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think you force it to Devontae. And usually we've seen games where they try to do that in-game, such as last week against Carolina, and it doesn't work. It's not as successful. They tend to go back, self-scout, and then when they look at themselves, they say, okay, we tried to force the ball too much to Devontae. You know, Aaron Jones was open. This guy's open out of the backfield. Tonyan's open across on the crossing pattern. So is Equanimeous St. Brown. Go ahead. Don't be afraid. Hit those guys, because the more you're going to make a defense think about where the ball is going, the more they tend to forget about Devontae Adams, and that's when he ends up making a big play. So, to me, just take what they give you. Continue to run a lot of the misdirection, a lot of the naked bootlegs. Put Aaron Rodgers on an island. He's got some wheels. I mean, he can run for – we saw him the last couple of weeks running for touchdowns. He can do that. So, but you just don't want to get him beat up, obviously. But just do some things to put Aaron on the move, move the pocket, move him around. You got the best pass-blocking offensive line in all of football. Utilize him, and therefore you're going to keep them guessing all day long. And that's when the Packers' offense and Matt LaFleur play-calling-wise is at their best.
All right, and that's the Green Bay Packers going up against the Tennessee Titans on NBC Sunday Night Football this week. And all right, Bill, thank you once again for being on the program. Tell everybody what you do over at the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Well, we do exactly that. We talk a lot of sports, a lot of Wisconsin, a lot of Upper Midwest. We talk a lot about the NFC North and the NL Central, and we obviously cover Bucks basketball, and we're all thrilled here in Milwaukee that Giannis has signed. So there's a lot of good things happening in this area. We've got, you know, three MVPs with Christian Yelich, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and Aaron Rodgers all hanging out with us. So it's an exciting time to be a Wisconsin sports fan. The Badgers basketball team is pretty good. So is Marquette, as a matter of fact. So there's a lot of good things happening in the area, and we talk about all of it, including the national stuff as well.
Awesome. And then you're also the host of the Green and Gold Post Game Show, where you go ahead and recap and analyze the Packers games. Just tell everybody what you do with the Green and Gold Post Game Show.
Well, it's myself and the former Packer and Badger running back, Gary Ellison. He also played for Detroit. We bring in the Packer Hall of Famer, and now a semifinalist for the Hall of Fame in Leroy Butler. We bring him in every now and then. And we just, you know, basically like any post-game show, we kind of give you the analysis, break it down. We try to talk people off of the ledge. We try to make sure that we give credit where credit is due. And we do it for 2.5 hours after each and every Packers game. So, and we'll do it again this coming Sunday night. So you can always listen to us on a radio.com app. You can always find me at BillMichaelsSports.com. I'm on Twitter. So there's plenty of ways to stay in touch with the program.
awesome to hear. Now, once again, before we let you go, tell everybody where they can find you and the rest of those platforms, whether it be on social media and any websites. Let them know that as well.
Well, BillMichaelsSports.com. It's just three words. Put them all together. You can find me there. That's the easiest. But I'm on Twitter at Bill_Michaels. And you can find me on the Facebook fan page, which is Facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow. Those are the three best ways to get a hold of us. We're on Instagram. We're on YouTube, all that kind of stuff. But those are the three best ways we do it. So if you need to get a hold of us or you're a Packers fan listening to the program, by all means, just show up and say hi.
And we know Green Bay is one of those special places, especially in the National Football League and all the professional sports. But can you describe to the listeners out there what a Christmas is like Green Bay style?
Boy, that's a great question. Normally, this weekend, you would probably see a lot of people dressed in green and gold Santa outfits. Unfortunately, they're not letting but maybe 500 people into the stadium, and that's friends and family. But as far as a Packer, you know, the first year I got here, it was Christmas time, and I actually ended up going to a church, and the pastor of the church was meeting and greeting people wearing a Favre jersey. You don't see that in the Catholic religion too much, where pastors are, you know, giving a sermon in a Brett Favre jersey. That's when I knew this area was special. This is the best way I can describe this is I went to Ohio State, and I know people that have been to, say, the Iron Bowl between Auburn and Alabama, you know, whatever bowl it happens to be that's important to you, especially up here in Wisconsin between, for Paul Bunyan's acts between Wisconsin and Minnesota. It's a huge event. I mean, sports and more so football is a way of life up here. So it's almost like a college atmosphere around here when the Packers are playing extremely well. And everybody wants to just, you know, just beat the hell out of everybody when the Packers aren't. So it's very much a football culture up here, live and die, eat and breathe it, all that kind of good stuff.
All right, fair enough. A special place indeed. And you heard it from him. He is Bill Michaels from the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. And he's also the host of the Green and Gold Post Game Show, recapping all Green Bay Packers games. Bill, thank you so much for being on the program. And if ever you want to come back on again, feel free to let us know.
Absolutely. My pleasure. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks again, and we'll be back with more right after this.
It's at the one, first and goal. You're on the first drive for the Packers. Fake to Jones in the flat. They get it here. Tonyan's in. Touchdown. 10th of the season to lead all tight ends in the league.
Packers perfect on third down so far. Rodgers steps up. Eyes on the end zone. He'll run and get in. Touchdown. They stay perfect on third down, and Rodgers gets his 31st career rushing touchdown. All-time leader for quarterbacks in Packers history.
Ownership in what they're doing. Back to Aaron Jones, untouched left side, he'll get in. Three drives and three touchdowns for Green Bay. Condenses that defense. So as you condense the defense, you just got to seal that edge. You got man-to-man coverage on the outside. The man-to-man defender comes inside.
After learning Rochelle's heart was functioning at only 20%, Ochsner's team of cardiovascular experts performed a life-saving procedure that allowed for less invasive treatment and an easier path to recovery. From comprehensive care to digital health, we're leading the way in heart health for the Gulf South and getting patients back to the people who depend on them most. Learn more at ochsner.org/cardio. Ochsner, innovating healthcare for Rochelle.
What makes community coffee different isn't just how long we've been around. It's how far we're willing to go in pursuit of the perfect cup. We select the finest beans and use four generations of roasting experience to give you a rich, delicious flavor. Look for us at your grocery store and online at communitycoffee.com.
Need an extra hand with dinner? Just ask your connected home device to fill your pasta pot, and Delta Faucet Voice IQ technology will fill it with the perfect amount of water. Visit deltafaucet.com/voiceIQ to discover more.
When the weather outside is frightful, the Hyundai Santa Fe is, what's the word, delightful. Because it's got available H-Track all-wheel drive to make being out together better. Enter for your chance to win the newly redesigned Santa Fe, packed with all the jingle bells and whistles you need to go dashing through the snow together. To enter, visit Amazon.com/Hyundai or scan the QR code on specially marked red and green Amazon boxes. No purchase necessary. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The outcome of an opioid emergency may depend on a quick response. Accidental overdose can happen anytime, even if the opioid pain medicine is prescribed. Due to COVID-19, emergency services could be slower to arrive. Get prepared. Get Naloxone, a potentially life-saving reversal agent with no prescription directly from your pharmacy. Having Naloxone available allows you to respond first, not a substitute for emergency medical care. Learn more at opioidsafetyplan.com. That's opioidsafetyplan.com.
When the weather outside is frightful, the Hyundai Santa Fe is, what's the word? Delightful. Because it's got available H-Track all-wheel drive to make being out together better. Enter for your chance to win the newly redesigned Santa Fe, packed with all the jingle bells and whistles you need to go dashing through the snow together. To enter, visit Amazon.com/Hyundai or scan the QR code on specially marked red and green Amazon boxes. No purchase necessary. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
As you make plans this season, consider convenient COVID-19 testing from Quest. Get the same test hospitals use without a doctor visit. Simply order online, select from drive-thru or at-home options, and get the results sent securely to your phone or computer. It's a great fit for your busy life. With over 20 million COVID-19 tests processed, you can count on Quest. So order your test today at QuestCOVID19.com. That's QuestCOVID19.com.
When the weather outside is frightful, the Hyundai Santa Fe is... what's the word? Delightful. Because it's got available H-Track all-wheel drive to make being out together better. Enter for your chance to win the newly redesigned Santa Fe, packed with all the jingle bells and whistles you need to go dashing through the snow together. To enter, visit Amazon.com/Hyundai or scan the QR code on specially marked red and green Amazon boxes. No purchase necessary. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Who are you texting?
My therapist.
You text with your therapist?
Text, video chat, call. Yep.
That sounds too easy. How did you find her?
I just went to betterhelp.com/save. She's a licensed therapist and it's all online. I connect when it's convenient for me and don't waste time driving anywhere. Plus, it's affordable.
I wonder if I should try it.
It's great to talk to someone in confidence. She's helped me sort out quite a few things. And right now you save 10% off the first month when you go through betterhelp.com/save.
Betterhelp.com/save. Got it.
Whether you host a nightly dinner party for two or five, keeping your eating and dining area clean helps keep your mind on the dinner party and not on the cleanup afterwards. Viva paper towels clean like cloth, trapping splatters and sauces that could become countertop stains or stuck on messes. And they're two times more durable when wet compared to the leading value brand. For an exceptional cloth-like paper towel, there's Viva. Visit vivatowels.com to soak up the clean feeling of home.
When the weather outside...
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. A big special thank you to Bill Michaels, host of the syndicated Bill Michaels Sports Show and the Green and Gold Post Game Show from the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. All right, everybody, let's get right to a preview of Week 16's most important games in the National Football League. Very exciting. Let's start with the NFC West showdown between the San Francisco 49ers going up against the Arizona Cardinals. The 49ers have been hit with injuries all season long. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be done for the remainder of the year. Nick Mullins has filled in. He's operated in spurts this year, but they get a bright spot. 49ers tight end George Kittle is coming back. So if there's any a glimmer of hope for the remainder of the 2020 season for the 49ers, it's George Kittle coming back. How significant will that move be? Well, I think it'll be a little bit significant. It'll enhance the 49ers offense more to add with their high-powered running game that they have, and they're going to need George Kittle to help them get some points on the board going up against the Arizona Cardinals. Of course, Arizona led by quarterback Kyler Murray, the best wide receiver in the National Football League with DeAndre Hopkins. They've got an effective running game with Kenyon Drake. Also, Chase Edmonds is pretty good as well. And you can't go wrong with Christian Kirk and one of the greats to ever do it, a future first ballot Hall of Famer, and Larry Fitzgerald. Arizona defense has been effective as of late with the likes of Buda Baker and a host of others, and Patrick Peterson has played well for the most part during this 2020 season. 49ers, they're basically just playing for pride because they have a very slim chance of getting a playoff spot, so they're just playing to in the 2020 season. On a bright note, as for Arizona, they still have a chance to lock up a playoff spot to play in one of the wild card games. So this is going to be an intriguing game in the NFC West showdown in the desert between the 49ers and the Cardinals. Next game is going to be a great one between the Miami Dolphins and the Las Vegas Raiders. The Dolphins head to Viva Las Vegas. Tua Tagovailoa has been playing pretty well as of late. Miami's defense has been really good as of late. The Dolphins, again, similar to Arizona, trying to lock up a wild card playoff spot. They got a tough one going out against the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders are still in the hunt. The Raiders are still looking for a sense of identity. Marcus Mariota may be starting. Derek Carr, strained groin. Looks like he may be done for the remainder of the year. We don't know the status on him, but we know Marcus Mariota looks like he's going to be the starter for the Raiders in that game against the Dolphins. The Raiders offensively, it's about as good as it gets. Josh Jacobs selected to a Pro Bowl, had a Pro Bowl selection as one of the AFC's running backs. Josh Jacobs has been great all year. On the receiving side, you've got Nelson Aguilar. How about Darren Waller making a Pro Bowl selection at the tight end position? Darren Waller has been sensational this year for the Raiders. Defensively, the Raiders have been okay, but I think Miami's defense is 10 steps ahead of the game against the Raiders. Dolphins and Raiders is going to be an exciting matchup. Another exciting matchup is going to be the Indianapolis Colts against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger going up against Phillip Rivers. We don't know how long we're going to see this matchup, how many years we're going to see this, but let's enjoy it while we have it. They represent the class of 2004, along with Eli Manning, that great class of quarterbacks in the 2004 NFL draft with Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers, and Ben Roethlisberger. Manning won two Super Bowls. Roethlisberger currently has two Super Bowls. Phillip Rivers has yet to win one. The Colts, they're going to one of the toughest places to play in the NFL and at Heinz Field in downtown Pittsburgh, surrounded by the Three Rivers. The Colts have one of the best defenses in the league, and they've continued to show that. And their defense is going to have to step up to the plate against a Pittsburgh offense that's really looked it's really looked suspect within the last 3 weeks. Pittsburgh were upset on Monday night to Cincinnati. Also, they lost to Washington. And then they also lost another game during that period of time. So they've dropped three in a row, and they lost to Buffalo, Washington, Buffalo, and then Cincinnati. So the Colts and the Steelers, this is going to be an interesting matchup. Again, the Steelers with that offense led by Big Ben, and you've got receivers with the rookie Chase Claypool, followed by Deontay Johnson, and then you've got Juju Smith-Schuster. And the Colts defense, they're going to have their hands full with those guys on offense. But let's talk about Indy's offense for a moment. You know, not just Phillip Rivers, but also you've got Jonathan Taylor, Nyheim Hines, also Zach Pascal has been good as well. And then you've got T.Y. Hilton. So the Colts are not to be they're not just a force to be reckoned with on the defensive side, but offensively they're playing well as well. So Colts and Steelers, going to be an exciting game. Can't wait for that one. Next game is going to be the Carolina Panthers against the Washington football team. Drama continues for the WFT, the Washington football team. Of course, you heard the news about Dwayne Haskins. There was a video that was released on social media with him visiting a strip club in the DMV, the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, was not wearing a mask. And he was fined $40,000. He had his captainship removed from him. Of course, for those of you that may not have been following Washington football team earlier in the year, he was the captain of the team. But when this recent video surfaced along social media, he had his captainship removed from he was removed of his duties as captain of the team. And then this is just so sad. This is just really sad because we know that his coach Ron Rivera has battled cancer, has gone through chemo, he's cancer free. But now how could Dwayne not only put his coach in danger but also his other teammates in danger? Well, we don't know what the future is going to hold for Dwayne Haskins, but as far as quarterbacks, the quarterback situation in Washington, we do know that Alex Smith has been practicing and he may be a goal for this game. We'll see what happens at game time. But in the meantime, Washington's defense has been off the chain. It's been great. Chase Young, Ryan Kerrigan, Montez Sweat, De'Ron Payne, Jonathan Allen. Also, you could put Fabian Moreau in the mix. I mean, and a host of others. The Washington football team's defense has been great. Offensively, they've ran the ball well with J.D. McKissic. Peyton Barber is effective. Antonio Gibson may return for this game. Who knows? But the Carolina Panthers, Teddy Bridgewater and DJ Moore, they've connected very well as of late, as well as Robbie Anderson. He's one of the top receivers in the league. Christian McCaffrey may be a goal for this game. We don't know. We'll have to see. But this is going to be an interesting game between Carolina and Washington at FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland, outside the nation's capital. The next game is going to be just like Washington still has a chance to wrap up the division. These two teams have a chance to wrap up the division. It's an NFC East showdown between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas had a shootout last week against the San Francisco 49ers. Andy Dalton was effective. Not much defense in this game, but it was all about the offense. And Ezekiel Elliott looks like he's going to be a goal for this game. As for the Philadelphia Eagles, I mean, they lost a shootout against the Arizona Cardinals. But Jalen Hurts, it looks like the future is Jalen Hurts for the Eagles at the quarterback position. And Miles Sanders has been playing great as of late. Eagles defense, we know it's been suspect for quite a while right now. But right now, Philly's MO is the offense. And Jalen Hurts has played effectively in the two starts that he's had, against New Orleans and against Arizona. So, again, this is a battle for supremacy in the NFC between the Eagles and the Cowboys. The NFC West matchup we have next is between the Los Angeles Rams and the Seattle Seahawks. The Rams were embarrassed. They lost to the New York Jets. They didn't expect the Jets to come out playing as hard as they did, but they did, and they gave it to the Rams. And now the Rams, they had a reality check, and now the Rams have a chance to win the NFC West, but they've got a tough one as they have to travel to the Pacific Northwest to go up against the Seattle Seahawks. You know, Russell Wilson is an MVP candidate. Russell and the company, they have it together. They seem to have it to get the train back on the put the train back on the tracks to get it going. And you know, the running game, has been effective for Seattle with Carlos Hyde, Chris Carson, Rashard Penny is back on the team, and of course the receivers Tyler Lockett, David Moore. Man, DK Metcalf is one of those once in a lifetime talents. Now we know Seattle's DC defensively. Seattle is not where they have played up to par this year. But last week their defense was effective enough to hold Washington. Now the Rams, offensively and defensively, they've been solid all year long. Defensively, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, Leonard Floyd, Michael Brockers, and, you know, just a whole host of characters. They played pretty well. This is going to be a great game up in the Pacific Northwest in Seattle between the Los Angeles Rams and the Seattle Seahawks. As I had the interview in the last segment with Bill Michaels, the Sunday night game of the week, Tennessee Titans going up against the Green Bay Packers in Sunday night football. You know, this could be a preview of the Super Bowl. You never know in the NFL. Tennessee, they're led by Derrick Henry, who's a candidate for Offensive Player of the Year and the MVP race. And you got Ryan Tannehill, who's played great ball as of late. Tennessee's defense is really good, but they have to go to one of the toughest places in the league, and that's Lambeau Field. Green Bay in late December after Christmas. It's the temperature, as Bill was saying earlier, it's expected to be in the 20s. So when you've got temperature in the 20s, Lambeau Field, Green Bay, Wisconsin, you've got Aaron Jones running the ball well. Jamal Williams is complimentary. Defense is steady for Green Bay, but you also have number 12, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, when you put your money on Aaron, you know, anything is possible. I mean, anything is possible with the Green Bay Packers. We've seen in the year two of the Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers regime looking very good, much better than last year. And Tennessee and Green Bay, this is going to be an interesting game because we know Green Bay, They don't defend the run well. They have one of the worst rush defenses in the league. So this is a game where Derrick Henry could really go off in front of a nationwide, worldwide television audience. This is going to be a fantastic game between the Tennessee Titans and the Green Bay Packers on Sunday Night Football. Monday night, we got the Buffalo Bills going up against the New England Patriots. We're seeing the shift in power for so many years, it was always the New England Patriots winning the AFC East every year. This is the first year where we're really the tide has shifted now, and the Buffalo Bills are in first place and have a chance to wrap up the division, taking on the New England Patriots. New England going through growing pains. Cam Newton, we don't know what his future is going to be with New England. Defensively, they've had some injuries. Stephon Gilmore was hurt in that game. We don't know what his status is going to be for Monday night. As for Buffalo, I mean, they've clicked on all cylinders all year. Stephon Diggs was a steal for them in the trade from going from Minnesota to Buffalo. Devin Singletary's played great. Zach Moss has played great. John Brown and Cole Beasley have been awesome. Dawson Knox has been outstanding at tight end. How about the quarterback, Josh Allen, only in year three? This is phenomenal, man. Buffalo has come a long way. I mean, they haven't hit the jackpot in quarterbacks recently with J.P. Lausman and Trent Edwards and E.J. Manuel and people like that. But now they've got a guy that's going to be around for a decade or two, and with Josh Allen. So it's going to be a decent game in Foxborough on Monday night between the Buffalo Bills and the New England Patriots. Coming up next, I'll have my game of the week. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to the NFL Wrap-Up.
.145/92 .180/111
.182/100 And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest.
.145/92
.180/111 .182/100 And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movements that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that, hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan, or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. Now it's time for my game of the week. My game of the week is going to be the Sunday night matchup at Lambeau Field between the Tennessee Titans and the Green Bay Packers. Last year, Tennessee shook the NFL by surprise. Ryan Tannehill, the situation with him with the Miami Dolphins, it didn't work out. Gets a new change of scenery with the Tennessee Titans. It paid off big dividends last year with his solid play along with Tennessee's defense and the anchor of that offense, Derrick Henry, running the ball so well. I mean, he is the epitome of power running. What the Titans did last year, getting to the AFC Championship, falling short to the Kansas City Chiefs. But guess what? Tennessee has picked up right where they left off last year. They're actually a better team this year than they were last year. And they're going to take that momentum to Lambeau Field to go up against Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. It's not just Aaron Rodgers that's doing his thing. It's Aaron Jones. It's Jamal Williams. It's even Devontae Adams, one of the top wide receivers in the league, and receivers that aren't really household names like Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Alan Lazard and Robert Tonyan. I mean, it goes to show you that Aaron Rodgers is so valuable to the Green Bay Packers organization for taking, with the exception of Davante Adams, the receivers that I mentioned, making them really good. I mean, it goes to show you, but Aaron has really done that for the most part throughout his career in Green Bay, not really playing with big-time receivers with the exception of Greg Jennings, Donald Driver, Jordy Nelson. Other than that, he's really had to kind of have a, receiver of the month, so to speak. Okay, we'll put this person in. If this person doesn't work, we'll try this person. Almost like a plug-and-play type of situation. But, you know, as I said earlier in the last segment, it's after Christmas. It's late December. It's expected to be in the 20s at Lambeau Field. This is going to make for some great football. Henry get the advantage and able to run against Green Bay's horrible rush defense. Will Ryan Tannehill be able to get plays off to playmakers such as A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, and Anthony Firkser and Jonnu Smith? Or will Aaron Rodgers, what about Aaron Rodgers? Will he be able to get some big plays against that Tennessee defense? Will Green Bay be able to run against that Tennessee defense? We'll find out the answer to those questions. We'll find out the answers to those questions when they hop the field. It's going to be a great game Sunday night between the Tennessee Titans and the Green Bay Packers. My game of the week. When we come back from the break, I'll have my picks for this week's most important games in Week 16. You're listening to the NFL Wrap-Up.
.145/92 .180/111
.182/100 And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movement that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that,
hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. As it tell.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. And now it's time for my picks for the Week 16's most important games. It's going to be a good one down in the desert between the San Francisco 49ers and the Arizona Cardinals. I like Arizona to win that game. Good one between the Miami Dolphins and the Las Vegas Raiders. I like Miami to win that one. The Indianapolis Colts taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I like the Colts to win that one. The Carolina Panthers going up against the Washington football team. I think Washington's going to bounce back and win this one. I like Washington winning that one. The Philadelphia Eagles going up against the Dallas Cowboys. Close game. I think the Eagles are going to fly. I'm going with the Fly Eagles fly. I like the Philadelphia Eagles to win that game. The Los Angeles Rams take on the Seattle Seahawks. This is going to be a nail bite. But I think the Seahawks are going to hold off at home. Seattle will win. My game of the week, the Sunday night matchup between the Tennessee Titans and the Green Bay Packers. I like Green Bay to win in by a game-winning field goal. And Monday night, Buffalo in New England, this game won't even be close. I like the Buffalo Bills to win that game. So here are my picks again for this week's most important games. Arizona, Miami, Indianapolis, Washington, Philadelphia, Seattle, Green Bay, and Buffalo. And those are my picks for Week 16's most important games. Once again, I'd like to send a big special thank you to Bill Michaels from the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network and the Green and Gold Post Game Show. We have previewed the Titans-Packers game coming up on Sunday night. And for those of you out there, I just want to extend a very Merry Christmas to all of you out there. And again, thank you so much for tuning in for this exciting edition of the NFL Wrap-Up. For everybody that's been listening, I'm Ed Robinson. And until next week, we'll talk to you again right here for another exciting edition of the NFL Wrap-Up. So long, everyone.